Hey, Ear Hustlers, it's Erline.
And Nigel.
This is Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia, hitting you with a surprise, a between-season, extra-special bonus episode.
And before we go any further, the following episode of Ear Hustle contains language and subject matter that may not be appropriate for all listeners. Discretion is advised.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare.
All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
As y'all know, we're between seasons right now.
We will be back September 9th with season 6.
So, we're dropping into your feed today in part to recommend some other things to listen to while Ear Hustle is away.
And we'll get to those in a minute. First, though, we have to talk about COVID-19 in California prisons.
Since our last episode at the beginning of June, the virus, which had already broken out at other prisons in California, hit San Quentin hard.
I am Lafon, New York Thomas. I am calling from the epicenter of COVID-19 in North Block of San Quentin, man.
You didn't get to co-host shit this season.
Nah.
This call and your telephone number will be monitored and recorded.
We were supposed to, me and Ozzy were recording an episode Friday on a Friday, and we didn't finish. I said, well, we'll just do it Monday when I come back. And I ain't seen us since.
Erline, I hate hearing that.
Right.
I remember that. I was supposed to go back in, but I was actually really scared I was going to bring the virus in. And then a few days later, San Quentin barred visitors anyway, and it stayed COVID-free, at least for a while.
And the cool thing is, we were assuming if COVID had got into San Quentin, it would be staff that brought it in.
Because once volunteers like me stopped going in, staff were pretty much the only people going from the outside in.
But that's not what happened. In May, busloads of prisoners from California Institution for Men, where there were a bunch of COVID cases, were transferred to San Quentin. It was meant to reduce crowding at CIM and slow down the outbreak there.
Before long, cases at San Quentin started to skyrocket. Rahsaan's cellmate tested positive.
They said they moving them, but they moved so many people, man, they ran out of room in isolation. Ran out of room in Badger and all of sections back there, so he got stuck in the cell with me. So he's in a cell with me for like another 5 days before I find out, I get my results in the mail and find I'm positive already.
When did you find out? Crazy.
I had a flu before they tested it because I had a bad headache, man, and a sneeze. But those ain't COVID symptoms, so I didn't report them because I didn't want to report them and get sent to where everybody got COVID at and definitely get it. You know what I'm saying? But I knew it was something funny with that headache because it was pounding for 6 days. And I've never had nothing afflict me for those 6 days. And then when I couldn't smell, I knew it was bad. And so when the results came back, I wasn't surprised. But right now, I'm good. Like, the only thing I feel right now is that my nose feels a little bit congested, but I'm over it. Like, it ain't going to kill me.
New York is, thankfully, doing okay. But the situation at San Quentin is dire.
As we're recording this on July 15th, CDCR is reporting 1,300 active cases of coronavirus in San Quentin. There's nearly 700 other guys who did test positive but have recovered. Together, that's more than half the population in San Quentin.
And the CDCR has confirmed 10 deaths at San Quentin caused by coronavirus.
The prison is on lockdown. Guys are in their cells 24 hours a day. Every 3 days, they get out to use the showers and the phone.
And we feel really helpless out here, but we're trying to do something. Ear Hustle is partnering with the Prison University Project and helping to raise funds to send care packages to every person inside San Quentin and also to help feed the staff.
And Nige, when I told New York about this on the phone, his request was add more food.
They need it, bro. Like, people need it, man.
No, definitely.
Food packages, make sure it's food.
No, definitely. It's
food.
Another one that's about to come through.
All the food.
It's another one that's about to come through. So you say mainly food.
Man, food.
Because of the lockdown, guys aren't working right now, so they aren't getting that small bit of money that helps them buy food at canteen.
And instead of going to the chow hall, they're getting food delivered to their cells in boxes. So instead of hot food, it's crackers, bread, chips, bologna, and that type of shit all day. So other food is really important.
Outside of that, man, what else? What are you seeing, man?
I'm telling you, we don't get out the cell, bro. Like for me, I'm going through anxiety. Like, I can't do nothing, man. I can't pace. I can't work out. My sonny's there all day, every day. He on the bottom bunk, he in my face. He's cool. I love him. But he needs to go. I need some space. We need some yard time or something, but I know they can't do that right now. It's bad, man. It just feels like a horrible time to be in prison right now.
Our friend Steve Champion has been sick, too.
The first 3 days, I had a headache. So I find myself laying down, you know, and on the floor, you know, with a blanket on the floor, and I find myself laying there, and I'm sleeping all the way until breakfast the next day. After sleeping that long period of time, I'm still tired. And then I'm cold. I lost my sense of taste, but not my sense of smell. In terms of the food became so absolutely horrible, I couldn't eat. I just couldn't eat, you know? And so, you know, I'm just glad that, you know, I'm back.
Damn, they cut him off. Oh, man. All right. Well, that was our good friend. Yeah, Steve Champion has been on death row for like 37, 38 years. And he's still up there. And right now with the COVID, he's just watching people pass on. Whew. A lot of times, you know, I be sitting here like, ooh, I'm glad I ain't in prison no more. I'm glad everything worked out in 2018 and Governor Brown seemed fit to release me because, I mean, my brother's in there, you know, displaying the symptoms. So I knew I would have been in there displaying them and probably fell out. So I'm pretty glad that I'm not in that environment and I'm in a totally different environment right now.
I was on the first tier. That's all I would hear was moaning. I can't breathe. They're calling for the nurses. I can't breathe. Somebody call the doctor. I'm cold. That's what you hear a lot too was, I'm freezing. That's how it is. There's no nurses coming to your doors. The nurses are standing 6 feet back from your door. The COs are standing back from your door. You're basically just left in there, man. If you're going to die, you're going to die. If you're going to live, you're going to live.
This is Caesar McDowell. He got out of San Quentin at the end of June.
The only way to resolve what's going on, man, is it's too many people. We're too close to each other. I mean, you got two people stacked in every cell. I mean, literally, when you're breathing in the next cell, I'm listening to you breathe from my cell when I'm laying down. So the only way to do that, man, is you have to get rid of some people. They're going to have to release some people. Or just sit and wait to see how many of us die and then, you know, replace us with someone else.
A lot of people are saying that you just have to get people out of there. It's time to release more people.
On July 10th, the CDCR announced it's releasing up to 8,000 people statewide by the end of August.
And 8,000 is a great number, but I think it needs to be more like 35,000, 40,000, so you can end the double celling and make a single cell. As of now, folks are packed in like sardines, and that makes the conditions perfect for an outbreak. So far, there have been around 6,500 cases of coronavirus amongst prisoners in California. About 2,300 of those are active cases.
And obviously, all of this has also upended life for thousands of people who have loved ones inside.
It's been hella hard to stay in touch. Family visits were canceled back in March.
Alicia Montero's husband is at CMF, a prison in Vacaville, California. Her last visit with him was nearly 5 months ago.
It was the last day of February that I saw him. It was just a normal day, the same thing that we always do. You know, we go in, we check in, and then we wait for him to come through. It usually takes 15, 20 minutes for him to get cleared and come through. And by the time he comes out, I usually have one of his favorite drinks from the vending machine. Me and the kids all have sodas and snacks, and we're just waiting. And then he comes to the door to give his pass to the guards at the podium. And it's been the same thing every time. He kind of looks at me, half smiles, gives his badge to the staff while he's looking at me the whole time, and walks over with a huge smile on his face. And it's just like the best part of our week. And everyone's sure that we're not going to have visits or see our loved ones again until after the first of the year. So I just keep playing that last visit over and over again. I had no idea that I wasn't going to see him again for a while. And I just keep kicking myself. Like, I wish I would have just held on just a little bit longer. Just held the kiss for a little bit longer. Because I don't know when I'm going to see him again.
We'll be right back after a break.
The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. Hear a feed from episodes across NPR podcasts that center Black voices. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts.
Like we said at the top, we're between seasons. And it's really hard not being able to see or work with our inside colleagues.
Nige.
Yes?
Didn't you just hear above? We've been working with our colleagues inside. You know we the king of the workaround.
That is true. That is our motto. There is always a workaround. You're right.
Anyhow, while we're hustling up our next season, we wanted to tell you about some other shows out there that we've been checking out.
One of the things that is so cool is that we are hearing more and more podcasts that share personal stories about life during and after incarceration.
We've been in touch with people making these in Australia, Spain, Italy, Norway, Russia.
And we wanted to share a few of our favorites. This first one is from our friends at Prison Radio Association across the pond in the UK.
They make a show produced by incarcerated people and broadcast into 100 prisons in England and Wales. And they also make a podcast series called The Secret Life of Prisons.
Here is a bit from the first episode, The Arrival, where three formerly incarcerated people remember their first moments in prison.
I went to prison with a weave, and I now never wear weave because they stripped me of that weave, and kind of just now I'm all natural because, yeah, never again. Like, they took
stripped
it.
Stripped your hair?
They took the weave, like, they took it off my head. Like, they literally searched me, and she said, "Is this your hair?" And I remember that moment going, "What?" And she said, "Is it yours? Is it sewed in or is it glued in? What is it?"
Yeah.
And I went, it's just a wig. It's just a wig. And she went, you're going to have to take it off, love. And we're going to zip it away in a bag. And that was it. That was gone. So I now have cane rows and half of my real hair kind of hanging, looking like a mad woman.
I thought it really struck me when they took the rings off my fingers.
Everything.
And my earrings.
Everything's taken.
And then I thought, oh.
And then they give you like this granny knickers.
Mm. Yeah. Had, and strip searched. Do men get strip searched?
Indeed, they do.
How did you cope with that the first time?
I kept my eyes closed.
And just like take yourself out of it?
Yeah, I kept my eyes closed. I did what they asked without looking at them, to be honest.
Mm.
For me, that was the best way. I didn't want to have to see their expressions. Mm. And their kind of gulping eyes. So I just did it with my eyes closed.
And that happens for women too, doesn't it, Brenda?
Yeah, but I feel like I blacked that all out, to be honest.
You blocked it out?
Yeah. I feel like there's moments...
Did they ask the women to squat?
Yeah, you have to
take everything off.
So take your knickers off, take your bra off.
But they ask you to kind of squat and...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah.
It's very degrading.
It's not human.
It is. Like, you have someone kind of... If I can remember correctly, I'm sure they asked me to cough because it relaxes your...
Mm-mm.
And, you know, if you had anything hidden in that area, it would ultimately come out. Yeah.
So for me, it was like, take off your jewellery and then here's your number. Mm. I think these were quite symbolic moments for me about this is what it is now.
Yeah.
You can't be you anymore. You're not Paula Harriet anymore. You're... MM4865.
Oh,
do you remember yours?
I do not. I erased it.
I erased that as well.
Wow. It's probably still imprinted in there somewhere, but it's locked away somewhere in the memories to be forgotten.
I know you know your CDCR number.
Which one? I had like three. I had, when I was a youth authority, I had M6263. When I first went to prison, it was E28749, and then the current number that I still have that's still tracking me and still tracing me is P35554.
Yeah, I knew you wouldn't forget it. And the cool thing about The Secret Life of Prisons is that it has a lot of conversation like that, but it also has contributions from researchers, writers, and poets.
Yeah, like this guy here, Carl Cattermole. He's reading something he wrote about the insanity of getting processed into prison. And he's a great reader, Nige.
And a note, Carl mentions a TV license. Erline, have you ever heard of that?
Nah, not really.
I've got to tell you what it is. Okay, that's something that you're supposed to have in the UK if you want to watch most television broadcasts. And they cost about $200.
That's gate money in California.
That's right.
You'll get given a standard set of blue plastic plates and bowls and plastic cutlery. Waiting to get processed, you'll sit in a holding cell and believe me, it's, God, how do I describe? A cocktail of brittle egos, hierarchy, lost kids who became men, fear manifesting as aggression, fear manifesting as fear, trauma manifesting as drug abuse manifesting as cold turkey, and cold turkey manifesting as diarrhea. And then there's me, most likely in the corner, scratching my name and my sentence into the paintwork. Healthcare will call your name, and speaking faster than a jungle MC, the nurse will say, suicide, history of violence, self-harm, sexuality, addiction, punctuated by the damp clicks of an NHS mouse. And often within earshot of the guards and prisoners. So especially when it comes to the suicide and self-harm and sexuality, honesty puts you in jeopardy. The system will come as a wholesale shock to your own. You'll be astounded at how inefficient the system is, how much stuff gets thrown over the wall, and how easily they could prevent it if they actually wanted to. How little support is given to illiterate people and drug users when this would obviously stop them reoffending upon release. How many reformed people are rotting away when they're ready to be released. How people talk about overdosing positively because it's their only form of escapism. How people who don't pay their TV license get sent to this shithole and then don't have to pay for a TV license while they're here. How people write Gucci on their tracksuit with a biro. and smoked tea bags wrapped in Bible pages, lit with toilet paper and bare cables coming out of a plug socket. The thing you'll be most surprised about is how adaptable people are and how many genuinely good-hearted people you'll end up meeting.
That show is called The Secret Life of Prisons, from our friends at the Prison Radio Association.
This next one comes from a podcast called Bird's Eye View, made inside Darwin Correctional Center on the northern tip of Australia. The prison houses about 1,000 people.
Okay, and I love this one. First of all, it's women's voices. They are super into the details of things. This is heavy rotation for me.
And in the first episode of the show, you hear some incarcerated women giving a tour to prison. Here's a bit of that.
Okay, my name is Rocket, and for my part of the tour, I'm taking you to Decepticon. That's where you go when you're being naughty. And it's four cells, and they're away from everyone else, and you don't get out in the yard. There's a cement yard for when you're being naughty, but you get 1 hour exercise out of that yard a day, and there's a camera in the cell. So if you want to go to the toilet without being seen, you have to put the mattress up against the camera so they can't see. Oh, yeah, and you also, before you go into the Decepticon, you have to get strip searched. Cough, squat and cough.
I've got this library room. There's a few just sort of odd desks and chairs kicking around and a couple of blue couches, which tend to fill up really quickly because they're the nicest place to sit. It's cleaned about once a week, but we did have an issue here for a little while where people were cutting their toenails in here, but that seems to be cleaned up now. It's got a whole row of bookshelves on one side, which for some reason is full of at least 50% of Love and Liaison books, which is all about throbbing members in their pants and all the other sort of crap that goes on. It's not really the stuff you want to read in prison because, you know, there's a bit of a lacking of the male diversity in here.
What do you mean slamming of the window?
And this concludes your tour of
Sector 4.
That's from the podcast Bird's Eye View. Go check it out.
Okay, the next one is way closer to home, like next door.
Yep, the podcast is called Uncuffed. It's a project from KLW in San Francisco, which is actually where you and I got our start in radio.
Yep.
This one's produced by incarcerated people working in a room right next door to Ear Hustle Studio at San Quentin.
They also have a studio at Solano Prison, which is about an hour away. That's where the first cut comes from. It's from a guy named Remus Sanlonki.
Remus is in prison for murder. This story picks up with him talking about his sister coming to visit him in prison.
She asked me, hey man, so I'm hearing from my Leon Elm and all your nephews that you've written so many songs. You know, all you do is write songs. And I was like, yeah, I got a lot of them. Well, sing me one of your songs. Let me hear one of your songs. And I was going through, you know, going through which song would be appropriate, you know, to sing for my sister. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't think of one.
Because of what?
Because of the content of the songs, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like the taboo is we can't swear when we're around each other. We can't, I can't be in her room. She can't be in my room. We can't even watch TV together.
So you didn't, you weren't able to share any of your music with your sister at that point in time?
None.
Tell me what happened after that, with your creativity, that is, what you wanted to do.
She tells me, it was a turning point for me. She tells me, you can't sing one song, huh? It's like, nope, I can't. I said, why? It's like, up, got it. Meaning, swear words, huh? It's like, yup. And she tells me, man, why don't you write a song that when I hear it, I'll be proud to say that you're my brother. Or if your nieces hear the songs, that they'll be proud to say that you're their uncle, you know what I mean? Sing beautiful songs. And that kind of like sparked this whole thing for me that I had never written my letter of remorse. And I go to what's natural for me, you know what I mean? Like
the music.
The music. So I go back to playing the guitar. And when I'm playing the guitar, this song comes to me, man.
I stole her sunshine. Robbed her blind in the middle of the night. with a phone call bearing bad news, the dreadful kind. The kind you never want your mother to hear, feel and go through her worst fears and nightmares.
Earlonne, it's actually really cool that there was another prison project coming out of KLW. And I know you're not inside San Quentin anymore, but sitting in the media lab next to them and hearing what's going on is really inspiring. They're always having a great conversation.
I got a lot of love for KLW, Nige.
Yeah, me too.
Definitely. I love hearing more voices come out of these prisons.
Yep.
Here's one more snippet from Uncuffed. It's also about music as therapy.
And ear hustlers might recognize the guy talking. It's Tommy Shakur Ross, who's currently incarcerated at San Quentin Prison and has been on our show a few times.
I'm going to bring it to, like, relatively recent. Like, on New Year's in 2018, my son was killed by police, right? And so, I'm glad I had done the work because a whole lot of feelings was coming up for me. You're talking about anger, you're talking about rage, right? And I wanted to act on that. I wanted to get high. It didn't feel good at all, right? But one of the things that I did do was, like, I listened to some of the most dark music I can find. You know,
factual.
As a way to cope. Like, yeah. I'm not acting out these feelings, but this is how I feel. So I listened to Brother Lynch Hung. I don't know if you guys heard of him.
Yeah, insane.
But yeah, he's like a sick rapper.
What?
Right? And please don't judge
me. What?
But the thing was, I was able to listen to him, and he was saying things that I felt. I was able to listen, like, to NWA, right? They were saying things that I felt, right? You know, F the police, right? But I wasn't acting out on those. Mm. So that lets me know that I was able, like, that there's growth in me and I'm able to cope, you know, by listening to that music and exercising.
Yeah, that's a form of release.
That's from the podcast Uncuffed, usually produced inside of San Quentin and Solano. Although, like us, they can't do any work inside right now.
There's one more show made not too far from here that we wanted to call out.
It's a podcast called Life on the Outside. It's produced in Southern California, and it's about a subject that I deal with daily, what life is like after you get out of prison.
In this episode, Kenneth Hartman is talking about going to a Walmart supercenter on his first day of freedom. He got to the pharmacy section, and he kind of freaked out.
I still freak out at menus, so I understand.
Like, I stood there for probably 10 minutes looking at this aisle thinking, well, I guess I should read every bottle and see what it says. Maybe this is the better one. And at some point, a voice inside of me said, this is not productive. And I just decided at that point, like, I'm just going to look and just go with the one that seems right and just go with it. So I've kind of approached things like that because I don't want to get paralyzed by too much. And I went to get my first phone that day. The only thing I knew was is my daughter told me I better get an Apple phone. So I went in there and I got the iPhone 8. And the young lady who's the salesperson comes walking up to me and I say, yeah, you know, I think I'm gonna get this i8 right here. And I'm just curious how much memory I should get. And she says, well, how much memory do you have in your phone now? And this was one of those moments. That's like your time, but this was a moment. Like, so what am I going to do? And there's a debate amongst people inside. Do you tell people or do you keep it a secret? I'm sure you probably know this from talking to many people. I elected and I argued for inside that I was not going to hide that I had been in prison. I just decided I'm not going to do that. You know, I don't want to lie to people. So I just looked at her and I just sort of, you know, quietly, I said, I don't have a phone. And she kind of looks at me sideways and I just sort of leaned a little bit closer and I said, I just got out of prison today. I've been in prison for 38 years. I'll never forget her because at some level, I think it was sort of like the beginning of a whole series of great things. There was just this tiny flicker of hesitation. And then she just leaned right back closer to me and she says, you won't need much memory then. So it was just said, and it was said so just matter-of-factly, like she did not pull away from me. There was no like flinch of fear. And in truth, my whole experience might have been different if I got that kind of reaction. Because from that point forward, I've been very open with people I meet. You know, I just tell people.
That's from the podcast Life on the Outside.
E, we are in really good company here. It's amazing to be hearing all of these voices talking about their prison experience.
Yes, it is.
And if you're still hungry for more voices from inside, we wanted to point you to a story about prison life that comes from some good friends and supporters of Ear Hustle.
Our partners over at Snap Judgment.
Yep.
It's the story of this guy named Gary Hayward. He grew up in a rough part of New York City and ended up becoming a CO. And what I like about this is finally, Nigel, finally, a CO openly talks about something.
My first day was terrifying when I first stepped inside that jail and that door closed behind me. I was scared to death. STD. Scared to death. I'm sitting there faced with individuals. Sometimes you hear, oh, this guy committed murder, or this guy is a drug kingpin. So you kind of like looked at all of them the same way, like, whatever you did, that was your choice. You know, you make your bed, you lay in it. Well, I had been on the job about 3 or 4 months, and then I heard somebody say, hey, G. If somebody says G or Gary, 9 times out of 10 is someone who knows me from out in the street. So when I heard, hey, G, the first thing that came to mind is, this is somebody who knows me from the street. And when I turned around, it was my friend Biz, who I had grew up with. So it was kind of like, holy snap. How do I handle this? I knew this was going to happen, but I didn't expect it to happen this soon.
Things get crazy after that.
That's the officer from Snap Judgment.
Also, before we go, we want to let you know about a project called Voices of San Quentin. It's produced by a group of people with ties to the prison, including our recently released friend, Jonathan Chu. They're collecting stories about what it's like inside and outside during COVID-19.
If you had a cellie and he's positive and you're not, they're just going to lock both of you in there. You're going to get it regardless. Because they have no more space to put anybody anywhere else.
He goes, it's a good thing you answered the phone because I just tested positive. He says, they won't let me call you for 14 days and there's no way for you to call and check on me. And that was the phone call.
You can find Voices of San Quentin on Instagram.
We'll have a link to everything we talked about today in the show notes and on our website, earhustlesq.com.
There are also links there to a number of other podcasts that tell stories about incarceration. We couldn't talk about all of them on the show. There's so many, Erlon.
Man, indeed. Ear Hustle will be back with our 6th season on September 9th. In the meantime, find us on Twitter and Instagram at EarHustleSQ. We're also on Facebook, too.
We'll be posting some updates there, including about the coronavirus at San Quentin and in other California prisons.
You can also find out more about the project we mentioned at the top, our collaboration with the Prison University Project to get care packages and food to San Quentin residents and staff.
Also, for the rest of the summer, Ear Hustle is giving 100% of the profits from all of our merch to the Prison University Project. So if you've been meaning to pick up an Ear Hustle mug, a t-shirt, or stickers, now is the time. Just go to our website, earhustlesq.com.
Ear Hustle is produced by Nigel Poor, Rasan New York Thomas, Bruce Wallace, and me, Erlon Woods.
This bonus episode was sound designed and engineered by Antoine Williams.
Amy Standin edits the show, Aaron Wade is the digital producer, and Julie Shapiro is the executive producer for Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle would like to thank Acting Warden Ron Broomfield, and as you know, every episode of Ear Hustle, even these bonus episodes, has to be approved by this guy here.
Nope, nope, nope. I would not allow Sam Robinson to approve this episode. I will send this episode to headquarters and let this woman here approve it.
I'm Terry Thornton, Deputy Press Secretary for the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, and I approve this summer listening bonus episode.
This podcast was made possible with support from the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, working to redesign the justice system by building power and opportunity for communities impacted by incarceration.
Ear Hustle is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a collection of the best podcasts around. Hear more at radiotopia.fm. I'm Nigel Poor.
Damn, Nige, this is it for the summer.
Yeah, I know. I'm sad, actually. I'm a sad Nigel Poor.
And I'm a sad Earlonne Woods. Peace.
Support for Ear Hustle comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/earhustle. That's odoo.com/earhustle. Odoo, modern management made simple.
Radiotopia.